Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Our Father, we ask this morning, the afternoon, that You grant us wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Your Son. Let us behold Him as He beholds us in Him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You see, when it comes to revelation knowledge or growing in the Word, the key thing is repetition. What did I call it? Repetition. Hearing the same things again and again. Like I shared in the first service, Paul says, for me to say the same things to you, it is not grievous. For you, it is what? Safe. That means to say the same thing. So hear it again and again. Praise God. You know, truth never grows old. Am I right? Truth is absolute. You don't get tired of hearing the truth. Because the more you hear the truth, the more you walk in it. Is that true? Praise God. Hallelujah. The more you walk in it. Glory to God. Now look at this. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word doctrine, gone over that, is the word didaskalia. Now before that, in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, Paul was speaking to Timothy, and then he tells him a vital truth. He says, be strong in the grace of Christ, or in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things, alright, the things there is a relative pronoun, are in the Greek, H-A, the things, okay, you have heard of me among many witnesses. Now the word heard of me, or the things you have heard of me, is definite. In other words, the Word of God, that is the message of Christ, is a definite message that has a borderline. To the things you've heard of me, among many witnesses. The same he says to commit unto faithful men. How do we know he's talking about doctrine, which shall be able to what? Teach. So it's definite. Hallelujah. Absolute truth. Things that you will see the same way you're a definite person. That's the very, the guy is tall. He says, well, he's tall, he's this and that. Well, anybody can be tall and then dark and handsome like you are. I'm trying to look away. All right. I'm not advertising you for any sister. I'm just talking. Praise God. And I'm not prophesying, am I? You get it? So, but then, you know, that looks like it. No, but he this is a definite person. The things. Some say, well, the Bible is like a mountain. That if you look at one side, it could look like a lion. And that, those are the things that have birthed error in the churches. The Bible is like a mountain if you look at one side. I was sharing somewhere, and someone told me, sir, was about the love of money, when Paul wrote about the love of money. And someone told me, he said, but sir, the Bible says, look at this, to the pure, all things are pure. That's serious. So if I steal your money, it's pure. He said, because our motives are pure. I said, that's not true.
Paul expressly said, we have not handled the word of God deceitfully. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But in the manifestation and preaching of the truth, we commend ourselves, our consciences, in your sight. That is, we're showing you. You can say, well, I'm sincere. How do I know you are sincere? Take your sincerity away. I want the sincere truth of God's word. Being sincere is not good enough. You can be sincere and lead people to hell. I'd rather have someone who is not sincere, who preaches sincere truth of God's word, than someone who is sincere, and then he preaches an error. And then people are misled. Now, of course, I'm not endorsing someone who is not sincere. I'm just telling you that the key thing is the message. Praise God. The first service, I explained to you the importance of the message. What was around? The importance of the message. You saw it. You saw it. People don't get saved because they believe in Jesus. We saw that in the first service, didn't we? Huh? It's not enough to believe in Jesus. Glory to his name. So, he says the things definite. Now, if you observe, even Jesus, you should be able to call a Christian and say, tell us what you believe. You know that kind of thing. They say, well, anything in the Bible I believe. Anything in the Bible you believe? That's serious, because somebody said in the Bible, as God said, you shouldn't eat every fruit of the garden. That you died. And someone said in the Bible, said, you shall not surely die. See, I believe that too. I believe that I shall not surely die. Or didn't surely die. That means you are not serious. You should study everything. Satan spoke in the Bible. Right? People wouldn't have much light spoke in the Bible. The prophets of old. I think I showed you last week how David would call human beings his enemies. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Correctly said? Is that correctly said? And Jesus pointed us to the enemy. That's not a human being. So you've got to study. That's why I told you the Bible is not for quoting, referencing. Praise God. The Bible is not for just referencing, just mentioning. For example, when the Bible talks about the blessing of Abraham, that we think Abraham's blessings are mine, And I say, well, if you read the epistles, Abraham's blessing is just, not just that, take that back. Abraham's blessing is righteousness through faith, not money. That's what the blessing is. I am blessed in the morning, in the evening, in the midnight, in the noon, in the midnight. Abraham's blessing. There's one brother who corrected us. Said, I'm blessed in the morning, blessed in the evening. He said, you should not sing that. That the Lord told him that, why do we not include the afternoon? That's how serious his brother was. I'm blessed in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. They are really mine. So you've got to study it. And see it properly. So things have to be very definite. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verse 42. Did I say Luke? Acts 2:42. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and verse 42. The Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. The word doctrine, I told you last week, is the word didache. Right? Come on. Used 20 times. That is more of the substance than the practice. A man can be an intelligent expounder and is not teaching the truth. So he says the teaching. That is a particular teaching. Didache from the word didax in the Greek. D-I-D-A-X. I showed you that last week. That is the substance. There's a substance in what they were saying. Do you know that those who bring error also are teaching it? Right? So it's not just good to teach. You must teach what is there.
I say it like this. The Bible is self-explanatory. You don't need to put your own ideas into what is already there. It's already self-explanatory. It explains itself. There are 66 books. If you read everything, you will know what the message is. So, he says the apostles' teaching, very definite. In chapter 5, verse 28, they actually told them, chapter 5, verse 28, they told them that the whole land, 28, this is chapter 5, verse 28, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in his name? Look at that, teach in his name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Now, is he saying with your teaching or with the message? Huh? Are they against people teaching or against that message? Exactly. And he says to bring this man's blood upon us. So, didactic is from didactic. It means a particular message. And so, what were they teaching in? In his name. That was the issue. That was the point. In Acts of the Apostles again. Romans 16. Paul now says, and you need to realize it. And the reason why you are in a local church is so that you can understand the message. In the morning I was speaking about when Paul says, beware of dogs. Philippians 3:2. You remember that? Beware of dogs. The Greek word blepo means to be observant. And I told you that being observant or being, people assume that when you are observant, for example, and you are vigilant as a Christian, that you are being arrogant. That's just arrogance. That's plain arrogance. And I said, no, that's maturity. Praise God. When you mature, you can discern. You can distinguish between truth and error. Charles G. Spurgeon, he once said, Charles H. Spurgeon, I think that's G. Spurgeon. How did I say? The H? It's H. Spurgeon. Not G. That's Charles G. Finney is the same. Charles Grandison Finney, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Right? There are two different people. He said, discernment is not just knowing error. It is knowing the difference between true and nearly true. That's why Paul calls on me another gospel. Looks like it. Praise God. Two people can speak from the same scripture and they don't say the same thing. Just pay good attention. Are you there? So there's a definite teaching that they had. Very definite. Now I said Romans 6:17 first. Before 6:17. And God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of what? Doctrine, didactic, the form of teaching, which was delivered unto you. That is something very definite. The same way you talk about your calculus, the same way you talk about the logarithmic table, very definite. Praise God. Romans 6:17. Then Romans 16:17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to God. Now, people have a thing to think that when you begin to teach proper Bible interpretation, they think that you are causing division. I don't know why I'm saying this much. I was talking to a minister. Then he said to me, he said, Brother Higgins' book, Midas Touch, Brother Higgins, Dad Higgins, we call him Kenneth E. Higgins, he wrote a book, Midas Touch. He said, that book caused division. I said, how? He said, the book made people have strife. I said, no. The book simply clarified the truth of the word. He said, but it caused division. I said, no. It's not the truth that causes division, it's men that cause it. You see, if you know, no matter how long you have been in the ministry, if the word of God is taught and is different from what you have been teaching, and you see, be sincere enough to make adjustments. Nobody should be carried away with the crowds that listen to him. The crowds were listening to the apostles, am I right? The whole of Jerusalem. But you see, when Paul brought the revelation of the scriptures to them, people became humble. Are you still there? Are you following what I'm saying? So he says, mark them. He said that teach contrary to the teaching, contrary to the doctrine. There is a teaching that all believers must have. And that's why you'll find it, it's not in the plural, it's in the singular. Acts 13 verse 12. It says the counselor was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. The doctrine of the Lord. Didache. Not the skill. Don't be carried away by a skill to explain, and then what is explained is not true. For example, Jesus in Matthew 7:28, the Bible says they were astonished at his teaching. Is it his skill to teach or what he was saying? It's what he was saying. How he properly explained the scriptures. How he properly explained it. That's the point. Not his skill. That is what he explained well. Matthew 7:28. Same thing in John 18, I think verse 19. Check that. John 18, verse 19. And the high priest then asked his disciples, and of his doctrine, of his message. You'll find the word doctrine in plural form. In Hebrews 13:9, every time you see it in plural form, it's referring to error. Why is it like that? Why is it that when you have doctrine in plural form, it's error? You know why? Because it's telling you that the message of the Bible is the same. So, well, that's the doctrine of Saints Community Church. That's the doctrine of Redeemed Christian Church. That's the doctrine of Christ Embassy. That's the doctrine of Anglican Church. But really, there's no such thing in the Bible. It's called the doctrine of the Lord or the doctrine of Christ. That is, everything must be consistent. So when you have doctrines in plural forms, either doctrines of men or doctrines of devils, or like he said in Hebrews 13:9, say you are carried away with strange meats, diverse doctrines. Diverse doctrines. Hallelujah. I remember somebody was saying, if you want to speak in tongues, the guy believes in the Pentecostal ministry that we call speaking in tongues. So if you want to speak in tongues, he said, you must do this, you must do this, because God can inhabit an unclean vessel. Now, the truth is, people spoke in tongues much later, because they did a lot of confession of sins and things like that. And then somebody else comes and he says, well, it's for everyone who believes. And you say, well, they are saying the same thing. No, they are not. They are not saying the same thing. They are not. The first person did not teach the doctrine of Christ. Even though, eventually, some will speak in tongues. If they do at all. But the other person spoke the doctrine of Christ. Because Jesus simply said, in my name. That's what he said? He was speaking to him. That's what he said. So, the other fellow brought his own experiences and, you know, the kind of, somebody told me one time, he said, I know that sister, that lady. So, are you thinking that she really has genuine Holy Spirit? I said, why do you think that? He said, well, I think you should give her time before she speaks in tongues. She's already speaking. Tell her to stop. He said, why? He said, because, listen very well. He said, because I know her when it's in secondary school.
once you enter the Polytechnic, Lagos State Polytechnic. He said, but she's already speaking in tongues. It may destroy her. He said, why did you say that? Because if you go and receive the power of God in a sinful life, that power will just destroy you. He said, what did you get that? Hallelujah. So there's a teaching. Praise God. Alright. Titus 1:9. Look, 3 John 9. Forget that. 3 John 1:9 calls it the doctrine of Christ. Then Titus 1:9. Holding fast, he says, the faithful word as he has been taught. Faithful word, didache, as he has been taught, that he might, watch this, be able to by sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what now? Huh? Wholesome, hugaino, healthy, you know that by now, right? By sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, those who oppose, who contradict, that's the word gainsayers, antilego in the Greek. A-N-T-I-L-E-G-O. Those who speak or think contrary. You'll find that word in Luke 2:34 and Luke 20:27. Acts 4:14, Acts 28:19, and Acts 28:22. So, one of the reasons why you must understand the message is for the purpose of those who contradict it. One of the reasons for the teaching ministry is to correct errors. That's not the main reason. But one of the reasons is to correct errors. Is that not clear right now? Talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Is that not clear? Someone say, well, I think we should just let everybody be. See, really, you don't know how God is dealing with people. Did Paul ever say that? Huh? No, you don't say that. He says you correct. Convince those who contradict the message. Praise God. Titus 2, verse 9. Titus. Verse, get back to that Titus 1, 9 again. Holding fast, he says, the faithful word. That word holding fast means to be devoted to it. Anteko means to have a firm grip. A-N-T-C-H-O. It means to have a firm grip. Hold fast. Don't say hold fast. To be devoted to it. How do you get devoted to teaching? You keep hearing it. Right? You keep hearing. When I was a younger Christian, I read every Christian book. Every Christian book. Every Christian book. I just reading. So I was just reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. Until one day, I found out I was a confused Christian. I didn't just read, I believed everything. One will tell me I'm delivered, I'll believe. One will say I need to deliver, I'll believe it. One will say I'm justified, I'll believe. One will say I need to deliver, I believe. I just say they are all speaking by revelation that they have from God. No. That's what Paul says. Tossed to by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:13. Important. By every wind of doctrine, verse 14. He says, when you are like that, he says, you're a babe. Tossed to and fro. That word to and fro in Ephesians 4:14 is a word that has to do with rough tidings of water. Is the word kudos nizomai. K-L-U-D-O-N. Klunizomai. K-L-U-D-O-N-I. Z-O-M-A-I.
It's taken from Cludon. Cludon, K-L-U-D-O-N, is from rough waters. By every wind of doctrine. For example, you know, right now, Nigeria may, in the natural, may be facing an economic issue or things around. Then you find out there are some doctrines that suit that period. People begin to say, well, many sisters on the campuses, they need to get married. So we say, by every wind of doctrine, there's a tide. So we follow that tide again. When I was in school, remember, right, there was this executive fellowship meeting, and it was a very long meeting. So I was privileged to be there. I wasn't an executive, but I was my first year, maybe fourth week, so I couldn't have been an exo. Because the fellowship started the day I entered the school. That wasn't the case. So they were discussing the sisters, say the sisters, our sisters, what is happening to our sisters? That the sisters are getting involved with unbelievers. And then they said, what exactly is the problem? Now, the fellowship meetings used to end in the evenings, very late, and people were sitting off campus, those who were sitting on campus were doing that. So they said that the brothers were just too spiritual. So the brothers would go home, then leave the sisters to go home on their own. And so the sisters would not meet their classmates who were unbelievers, and then they would see them off, then they get into a relationship. And that was worrying an entire ESCO. They are saying, what do we do now? So they asked me my opinion. That the Christians, the sisters are not serious. Because somebody was already suggesting, let us do a seminar. What we'll do now is we'll do neighbor week. So we match one brother to one sister. Say, you know, Brother Wale, you begin to teach on relationships and then how, you know, I said, that is every wind of doctrine. Your teaching is being dictated to by what is happening. No. No matter which country you are, no matter what situation, the message of Christ is consistent. Are you hearing what I'm saying? By every wind of doctrine. I recall that I went to a town in some years back. I think it's 1995. And there was this, I'm going to ask Brother Tokes to pray for me so that I'm remembering dates like him. It was a Tuesday. It was about 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. Brother Hagin knows that for 1920 something. We got to a place and we found out that they were worshipping sex in that town. It was so bad. Very horrible. And someone said, the terrain here is spiritually thick. So what do? So we have to deal with the principality and power. Say, forget all that. Now we have to pull down the strongholds. And he opened the Bible, 2 Corinthians 10. Say, casting down, say, the purpose of the prayer. The pulling down, we all stop the pulling down strongholds. Because you know, there's a stronghold in your mind. Stronghold. And I said, no. He was saying there, casting down every imagination. That stronghold is in people's thinking. Not in a room in the kingdom of darkness. Satan is sitting there and he has Otumba and Osiba and all his chiefs. No, you know what Osiba is? The Greek word. I said, no. Paul says, we will bring to subjection every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. That's the message. Paul was talking about the preaching of the gospel. I said, we're just going to preach. I said, yes. By the time we preach with signs and wonders and miracles. Don't you see that when Philip went to Samaria, the G in Samaria was Simon the Sorcerer. He was the main man. You know, he was called the man of the great power of God. Philip did not go first to his place. Where is he? You say, and they iron touch iron. You know, Philip just went out to Samaria and he did what? He preached Christ.
And then what else did he do? There were miracles, signs, and wonders. And the people gave heed with one accord. That's what it means. Okay? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Is that okay? So I told them, I said, we're not going to do something. And you know, they used to respect me in our team. They said, he has come again. Everything is the word. The word. The word. The word. So let's see what we say. Let's pray. We're going to pray that the word of the Lord will run a free course. We're going to pray that utterance is given to us. And we pray. And we have a massive harvest of souls. Praise God. Then that brother said, the brother that was ordered to do, they told us that we should, he said we should do a film. I said, film? For these kind of people? They're already watching films. And they're acting it already. You see what they're doing here, you say, you're going to show them film. Hallelujah. You preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you still there? So you are devoted. You're not carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine.
Because you go to a campus and people are living in sin, don't say, I'm in trouble today. You say, hell is burning, oh! That's not what he sent you to preach. You're still going to preach the good news of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that clear?
Is that okay? So, he says, by every wind of doctrine, and slight commandments, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, Ephesians 4:14.
The word deceive is where you have error.
Error. So, I say error. So, let me say this quickly. Stability is very key, very critical in your walk, in your rights and privilege in Christ. You have to be stable. You have to listen to things again and again and again.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Again and again and again and again. There are some brethren. When you are quoting a verse like this, they will end it for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Very much be in Christ. Sometimes they are not really listening. You listen again. Because sometimes when you hear the same truth again, it's not to hear it for the first time, it's to hear it for depth and a fresh application. You hear it again. I once went to a place to preach. And then the pastor confessed to me, he said, when you started, I first of all took my mind off. He said, I'm going to teach your church. I said, John 3:16. He was discouraged. I said, for God so loved the world. He said he was discouraged because he had me preach about faith somewhere. So he said, I was really waiting for you to come and break some things down. I said, for God so loved the world. And I said, let me stress the word, so loved the world. Oh, he said, oh, thank God. When I was done, praise God, you see joy in the whole church. Hallelujah. He said, I was discouraged. I said, well, you may read John 3:16, then someone else comes to explain John 3:16, the same truth, but you have a fresh application. Praise God. And, oh, John 3:16. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no credit to them who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are in Christ Jesus. Tell us something. From which book? That to be from the same Bible that you know. Is that okay? So, in being stable, you see, what you're doing basically is that learning the same thing again and again, you are creating stability in your walk in Christ. So I say stability. Very good. Now John 14, where our text is. Glory to God.
I said, glory to God. Let not your heart be troubled, he says, for you believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. Now in 12, he says, verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, there are some things that we have established. We've established the word mansion, or maybe we should go over it one more time. In John 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now let's stay with the word house a bit. The word house is not the same thing as It's the word oika, O-I-K-A. Oika, O-I-K-A. Now, oika can mean different things. But it is never used for a city. So it's not saying, in my Father's village are many mansions. It's not saying, in my Father's town is hoika. Hoika was never used. That is, all through the four Gospels, was never used for a city. In the four Gospels, listen to this, hoika is used 77 times. 77 times in the four Gospels. Now, look at John 4. Pay attention to this now. Hoika. So the Father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus had said, thy son lives, and himself believed, and what? His whole, his whole oika. Now, that word hoika, will it be a place or people? Okay. So hoika is used for household. Are you there? Come on. Come on, guys, are you there? Pay attention now. It's used for what? Household. One more. Or two more, really. Mark's Gospel 3:25. Mark's Gospel 3:25. He says, and if a kingdom, verse 24, be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Verse 25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. A building or a people. Now, the word house can be safely called household. Right? Go on. Together here? Good. Then one more place. Mark 6. Mark 6. Glory to God. Jesus went, Mark 6 now, to his hometown to preach, his own country in verse 1. Then in verse 4, he says, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. A place or people? All right. So, now, we have the word oika, and two words. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and the word mansion is not mansion like a building. The word mansion is word mone, from meno. It means what? A place to stay. So, it says, in my Father's house, can we say, building or household? Which one would you prefer to? Do you think is closer to what you're saying? This week? Last week it was something else. Fresh application. Right? In my Father's household. Why do you think it's household? Praise God. Come on. Why do you think it's household? Now, household would mean family. Is that it? So why do you think it's household? Is that what household helping your thinking? Huh? Why did you choose it? We have two places. House for where you stay, or household, family, right? People that live together with you, family. Okay? So we have two places. Is that space or family place? Why are you quiet? Am I saying something very strange? Huh? Okay, now, was there a household when Jesus was talking? Huh? Relax. Household is family. He's also in my Father's house. That means he is the son. And then there's already a household. I think that's simple, right? Huh? So my Father's house can refer to Jesus' relationship with the Father. Is that correct? Shall I stop? Why are you looking like something? Huh? I know by now we are taking our minds away from heaven. Except you just came for the first time in this service, or you are just hearing me for the first time. So, in my Father's household, you know, we still have place. Fine. But now it says, household, there are many mansions. Okay? Praise God. Could it be that was it? Look at verse 6. John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him for and have seen him. Are you there? So he says, have I been so long with you and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And you say then, show us the Father. Believe not that I am in the Father in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Praise the Lord. Are you following this? So, we have two words we want to look at. Quickly get back to verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you, or better still, I go to make ready. Now, when he said, I go, what's he talking about? He's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, and then what? Ascension to the right hand of the Father. So, now, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If we take household, that means he's talking about family. Right? Talk to me. That is if you take household. I've not taken it. You are the ones that I say if you take household. If you take household, if you take household. Okay? That means, if you say I go to prepare a place for you, that means you can only substantiate it by looking at what did he do when he died and rose from the dead. Did he make room for a household? Let's find out. Praise God. John 12:24. Are you following? John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. And if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So he's saying, by death, more is reproduced. Are you listening? Are you listening? Now, look at it. John 20, 17. So, Jesus is saying, by death, a man can bring forth much fruit. That means, reproduce himself. Is that correct? Now, look at John 20, 17. When Jesus rose from the dead, and he came back, and he met Mary Magdalene. He hadn't yet gone to heaven. He was just out of the grave. He says, touch me no longer. I go to where? Huh? And who? Now let me ask you, if you call someone's father your father, what does it mean?
You know, you can't see my dad and say, that's my our dad father. I say, who and who? I can go and ask him that. He didn't tell us this one. You get it? Because my father and your father will mean that we are in the same family. Come on, are you there? Okay. I go to my father and your father. To my God and your God. Right? So, that means at the resurrection, there was an identification. Are you still there? My father, your father. Now go to Hebrews 2. You learning some? Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Let's take verse 10 together. Let's go. For it became him. Everybody, look at your Bible. You see, let me tell you something. Every time, this is just personal exhortation. Every time you are told to read the Bible, read it. There is always something you get when you read it. Read it. That's why you see we don't put up scriptures here on the screen. Because we want you to come with your Bible. So that when you go, you don't take the screen with you. Alright, good. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him, let's take it together. For it became him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing what? Bringing what? Now, in the four Gospels, he was called the only begotten Son. So, to bring how many sons? Many sons to glory. Go on. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, let's take 11 together. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. Actually, the Greek says they all have one Father. Go on. For this cause, he is not ashamed to call them. Now, brethren is the word adelphos, which is to come from the same womb. Okay? So, did Jesus' death bring forth many sons? His resurrection brought forth who? Many sons. Come on. Are you following this? Good. So, go to Colossians 1:18. So that means, he never remained the only begotten son. Colossians 1:18. Are you there? Let's read that together too. Let's go. And he is the head of the body. Come on, one more time. Let's go. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So, he's the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn means prototokos, model son, a prototype of sons. Not first child. That's the first child. That's my second child. Prototype. That means all the sons will be the same. He is the model of how all the sons will look like. Are you there? Are you there? Now one more. Look at Romans 8:29. For whom? We've been here before. For whom he did predestinate. He did foreknow. He also predestinate, conform to the image of his son. What's that word conform again? Somerful, that means to be made like. Not a process, it's once and for all. To be made like, okay, the image of his son, that he might be what? Firstborn among what? Many brethren. Many brethren. So, Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. Acts 13, one more. Acts 13:33. God has fulfilled the promise that was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again from the dead, as also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So, in his resurrection, he became what? He brought many more sons to glory. Then we became brethren. That is, we now have the same Father. Are you there?
Does that mean that all the rights he got at the resurrection is now for all the sons? Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? Okay, so John 14, 12, one more time. You learn something from that? John 14, 12. Believe me. Okay, 12, sorry. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me. Now, the incarnation or the resurrection. Thank you. He that believes I'm raised from the dead. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than this, because I go to my Father. Now, because I go to my Father will be what? Because I have made a room for who? For him. Okay? Can we say, because he that believes in me is now a son of God too. Is that all correct? So when I said, I go to prepare a place for you, is it the same as saying, I went there to bring many sons to glory? Is that the same thing? Okay? So that where I am, there you will be also. So we are all of the same. For this cause, it's not a shame to call us what? Is it clear? Is it clear? So, place or family? Family. Family, right? Amen. So, is the mansion coming from heaven, or you are going to meet in heaven? Mansion has taken your mind again. Hallelujah. He has set up an eye, alright? Then he brought many sons to glory. So, is he referring to heaven at all? Glory to God. You enter this mansion on earth. Glory to God. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That is what he was talking about in John 14, 2 and 3. So I'm a son of God today. He doesn't seem to be confident about that. See, I'm a son of God today. You know, people like some names like, I'm an arrow in the hand of a mighty man. Like, what's like? Huh? I'm an art moving equipment in the kingdom of God. No, actually, you're a son. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm a son today. Praise God. Sisters are wondering, what about daughters? Oh, you got that. I'm a daughter. You like that. But is his son, because biblically, sons are heirs. You get it? So it's not gender. So in the spirit you find women's spirit. That's why I send the spirit of his son, not his daughter. Praise God. Who is heir of all things. So he's not talking about gender. I am a daughter of God. I am a daughter of God. No. His sons. Praise God. So when he says, where I am, there you be also. Does it also mean as he is, so are we? Is it the same thing? Does it also mean we are joined together with the Lord and we are one spirit? Is it the same thing? So you can see so much truth will be lost if we don't interpret the scriptures properly. I must have told you the story of this sister who said she died and went to heaven. And when she went to heaven, she saw the house that was built for her, a mansion. And I think she just collapsed. But somehow the sister was so spiritual to us that you can't question her. So quiet when she's talking. She says the Holy Spirit peaks are closed for her. And I didn't find that difficult to believe, because when I see the color combination, I know it takes a spirit to dress like this. You get that? Because you cannot have your eyes working, and then you combine these kind of colors, except you're on a rag day. So she said she got heaven, and then she said, of the Holy Spirit, she got the evidence of Jesus, and Jesus said, and she found out that The house she had built didn't have a roof. Wasn't plastered. Wasn't painted. And then she said, oh Lord, let me just stay here. Then she found out that the house also did not have a roof. And then I was wondering, oh, roof. I was imagining how it looked like. And then she said, it began to rain in heaven. Now, rain is too much. I thought rain came from the earth. She said, when the rain. Now Jesus now showed her how ugly her life has been. One even said that she found out that the house she built is on the foundation level that she in 1979. If she came for our service, she will not have that kind of useless dream again. Praise God. The word of God supersedes your experiences. Is that true? Okay. So is that text very clear to you? Alright. So he that believes in me, who is he talking about? The sons of God. Hallelujah. You know, you can change and say, the sons of God shall do the works that I do. Would that be correct? So you put it in your Bible. Say, sons of God shall do the works that I do, shall he do also. Or can you say, he that is born of God, can you put it there? Will it make sense? Will that make sense? He that is born. What about saying, he that is a son of God? That's okay. He that is born again. Would that be correct? John 14:12. Huh? Would that be correct? He that is born again. Okay. The works that I do, shall he do. Is he referring to replicating or identification? That is, because we are now alike. Come on. Is that what he's saying? Because we are now the same. Is that correct? Come on. The works I do, he will do also. And greater. Do you know that he didn't say, watch this. He didn't say greater works. Praise God. We'll see that next week. It is a greater works. The word works there is repeated. I mean, it's italicized. Because I go to my Father. So, look at that word works. Now, is Jesus talking about the four Gospels or post-resurrection? Good. So, that includes you and I. Now, listen to this. The word works is the word deeds, to perform something. And you have it from the word ergon, E-R-G-O-N, from where you have energio, okay? Working. Now, let me ask you a question. When you read your Bible, do you look at the details of what it's saying? Huh? Now I'm going to give you a small assignment, and I will give you 5 minutes to run through. Look through John 14, alright? And 14 verse 2 to verse 20. And tell me, you know, sentences are defined by prepositions. Right? Right? If I say, it's in the house, that means look inside the house. If I say it's by the house, that means look around the house. If I say it's on the house, but you say it's the house, go and take the house and bring it. So prepositions give you direction, right? So look out for the most consistent preposition in John 14, 2 to verse 20. That defines what he's saying. To verse 23 actually. I'll give you 5 minutes. Look at your Bible. Even if you didn't read this morning, this is an opportunity to do devotion. Which preposition defines what he's saying? Oh, thank you. You're right. That's it. At least you saw it yourself. So put it down. I saw it myself. So you won't quote me. Put it there. So, the most vital preposition there is what? In. So, you are in the family. Praise God. And you know, the father is also in the family. Right? Father is in the family. You are in the family. Praise God. So preposition in, very, very key. Not by, is in. Praise God. That's the language of which testament? New Testament. Now, in will mean union. Right? Right? Union. That is, if I say, where can I find the picture of so and so? You say, it's in page 5. That means anywhere I carry the book, the picture will be where? There. That's in. Preposition in. So if I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, what do you have? A union. Praise God. So, preposition in refers to identification or union. So, at salvation, when you believe the gospel, what happens? There's what? A union. So, watch this. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask how in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, it didn't say, whatever you shall ask, mentioning my name. Praise God. Now again, the word in will be what? Huh? Where? Inside. So, whatever we ask, where? In my name. Then you say, well, in my name. So, what's his name? Jesus. If I ask J, he will do it. J is in his name. If I ask E, is in his name. S is in his name. Am I not making sense? U is in his name. He didn't say mention my name. Whatever is in my name. For example, some people have so long names. They have Jesu tofu mi modupe lowo olorun o dabira laye mi. One name. So their passport just has abbreviations. J-E-S-U-dot-to-dot. You get it. So in that name you can get so many things. Jesu to for me. So, in my name will mean what? Mention my name? Are we on the same page? At the mention of your name, every knee. We're coming to that one. Just wait. It is at the mention. Let me add one more. Look at this. Yeah. In my name. Now he says, I will do that the Father may be glorified where? In the Son. Now, what did he say before that? Believe me, I am in my Father, the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He had told you where I am, there you will be where? Also. Now, before you go further, look at verse 20. In that day, you shall know that where? I am where? And you? And I? Alright, so pause that. Again, whatever you ask in my name, notice it didn't say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that would be prayer. Right? Because that's what John 16:23 says. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. That's prayer. John 16:23. Here it says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Two different things. In John 16, he's talking about prayer. In John 14, he's talking about works. Are you listening? Is that clear?
Okay, so he's not talking about prayer. He said the Father may be glorified in the Son. In John 16, he said that your joy may be full. Two different things. Are you listening?
Okay, good. So that what I do. So the next thing he says, he says, in my name. Now the word name in 13, to ask anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandment. Quickly, what commandment did he give them? What instruction did he give them? Believe. Hallelujah. That's what he told them. Believe. Okay? Now, follow this. That is instructions to believe. Now look at the word name. The word name is a Greek word onoma. O-N-O-M-A. 211 times it is used. 211 times. Now I can say name, and I'll say, what is your name? Like I mentioned, I say, my name is Remy. So I write down your name in the book. That is a way to look at the word name. But that's not what he was saying here. Go to Matthew 10:22. Matthew 10:22. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Is it because you wrote Jesus on your head? Definitely, he's not talking about for J-E-S-U-S. Are you following? Matthew 10 again, verse 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now you can say, well, in the title of a prophet. So anybody who is called Prophet Jeremiah, receive him. But he says, he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. So righteous. Are you following me? Matthew 21, 29. Fellow said, Now, let me give you an instance. When he says, in my name, someone said this, sorry, don't go to Matthew 21. Someone was preaching one time, he said, that Goliath, before David, that David picked 5 stones. He said, do you know why? We know why! I'll show you now. David picked 5 stones. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Who said, word! But he used just 1 stone. Sorry, am I getting to, and so I said, that's arrogant. Take the rev like that. No, I won't. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I apologize for my knowledge. I will not. By the way, Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. It's 6 letters. In Greek is Hoisos, about 7 letters. It's in English that it is Jesus, 5 letters. And there was no English when David picked up the stone. Praise God. Now, so when it says in my name, the word onoma has to do, when it says a good name is better than silver and gold, it's talking about reputation, status, reputation and character. So when he said, whatever you ask in my reputation, praise God, that means it's letting your mind focus on his reputation
upon his resurrection. Are you listening? That means, can we say, in my status? Would that be correct? Come on. Huh? Is that correct? In my status. What about in my office? Correct? What about in my position? Correct? If you receive a prophet in the position of a prophet, right? In my name. So when we say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that is in my office. You get it? He'll do it. He'll give it to you. In my office. There was one time I wanted an assistance from someone. Alright? And I was out of the country, so I lost my passport. So I called the government, the folks, the guys in government in that country. I said, I can't find my passport. And they said, well, I cannot do anything for you in my own office. I don't have the right to give that to you. But I'm going to call someone whose office takes care of that. So if someone is in his office, that refers to rights and privileges attached to that office. It's not in the mention of the office. Let me see how they're following this. Is it clear to you? Alright. So whatever you ask in my status, that is whatever privilege you demand for, that's the word I tell you, you demand for in that office. Now what office? The incarnation or the ascension? The Father. As the first begotten. Alright? At the right hand of God. Glory to his name. So, hold on there, we're coming back. In verse 16, did you learn from that? Right? Alright. So, it's not in mentioning his name. Give me a BJ, J, justified me, E, elevated me, S, sanctified me, US umbrella over me, yes. But that's the way, oh, I like it. Nobody in that day, they were just that, yes. I see. When we trivialize things like that, we rob ourselves of the truth. And many people have caught cake in the name. J-E-S-U-S. Can you kiss it back? J-E-S-U-S. You want to open? Let's start the football match. A Chelsea game. J. I'm sorry. J-E-S-U-S. So verse 16, watch this. And I will pray the Father. There's an important truth, he said. And he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. So he begins to explain what he's saying. Because he sees him nor neither knows him. For you shall know him. He dwells with you and shall be where? In you. So he begins to talk about the spirit. So he's not saying Jesus with his head and his ears and his leg, he now comes inside of you. He's saying it will be by his spirit. Praise God. Are you still there? Come on. Are you following this? By his spirit. Me and my Father, verse 20, he says in verse 20, in that day you shall know I am in my Father and he in me and you in me. 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. What are his words? Believe. And Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our home, our abode, our mene with him. Hallelujah. So, is he talking about a dwelling or a relationship? Good! Hallelujah. So, John 14 explains our sonship. That we are sons today. In other words, the same spirit, glory to God, that is in Jesus will be in everyone that believes. Come on. Are you there? The same spirit. So, don't forget we said in my name, that is in my reputation. Now, look at Matthew's Gospel 1:21. When the angel spoke
to Joseph so that he will not run away or chase the lady away. Now, I think there's something about Joseph that makes sense. That means he's not a reactionary person. For some folks, he'll have chased her away before the angel spoke to him. That means he still thought about it. You get it? Did I say, eh? So I have something to tell you. What's it? The Holy Spirit. Oh, great. The Holy Spirit. What did he say? The Holy Spirit. An angel told me, the Holy Spirit overshadowed me. He said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow me. And then I will have a child. You said yes? I said, be it on the map of your word. Which one? You just said, let's talk later. You know, she was like, what did he say? He went, and as he was thinking about it, what do I do? If he's someone who gets angry easily, I said, see, useless. You have useless yourself all over the town. You have useless yourself all over the place. Holy Spirit. Spirit holy. That's how they say they are Christian sisters. You know, he was calm. Praise God. And that allowed things to happen. You know, you don't get a prize for being fast in acting. Bible says be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Some of the things we get angry with because we didn't think through them. People will be patient in many things. You know. We won't act the way we do. Praise the Lord. I just said, I hope that blessed someone. Okay, thank you. So, Matthew's Gospel 1:21, the angel said, he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The truth is, that name was not a new name. The name Jesus is the same name Joshua. Okay? So, that means the name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S. In the same letters, is referring to his status. Right? His reputation. His office. So, while Joshua, who was called Jehovah is salvation, could not save people from their sins, this one has a reputation for saving people from their sins. Are you there? Now, so, you want to listen very well. When the apostles now said, the demons are subject to us through thy name. What are they saying? Through Joshua? Huh? No. Through your office, through your reputation. What was his reputation? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. If just a name meant everything, he would not be anointed. Are you listening? Now, when he's anointed, he now becomes anointed of God to heal the sick, to raise the dead. So they will go around and say, in the name of Jesus, in other words, in the office and reputation of Jesus. Watch this. He was not the only person bearing Jesus in those days. Am I making sense? So it's not Jesus is not a name that came from heaven above. It's a normal man's name. So the issue was not the spelling or the pronunciation. It was the reputation he had. That was what the woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. What did she hear? He's anointed of the Spirit. So she goes to touch his clothes that she might be healed. Are you there? So there's nothing magical about J-E-S-U-S. Are you there? Okay. So look at this. That's why Philippians 2 will make sense to you now. Philippians 2. Verse 6. Talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Talking about his divinity. But made himself of no reputation and took on upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Is this the incarnation? Is this the incarnation? Okay. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of what? Okay? Wherefore, God had highly exalted him. Incarnation or resurrection? Ascension, okay? Has highly exalted him and given him what? Huh? Of, that is above. Did he change his name from Jesus? So what name is he talking about? Jesus. Or Jesus too. Praise God. So, is it J-E-S-U-S or office? Reputation? Amen? Come on. Are you following this? Okay? So, well, that means in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, he got another name. You there? That means, you know, before he died, he had, no one could be saved and born again. Is that true? But when he rose from the dead, salvation became available. So he was glorified. He got a new name. Come on. Are you following this? Now, the word highly exalted is the word huperupso in the Greek. Huperupso. H-U-P-E-R-U-P-S-O-O. It means to be hyped. He was hyped. Acts 2:33. And being by the right hand of the Father exalted. He had received he had received the promise of the Holy Ghost of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, which has shed for this which you now see and hear. Acts 5:31, the same thing. So he says he had given him a name. That word given is the word charizomai in the Greek. It means to bestow on you. To bestow on you. Alright? To bestow. It's used for forgiveness and kindness. It means to bestow. That means he was adorned with something. Now, if you have charizomai, it means you did not have it before. That means he was given a name he never had before then. And his name did not change. Hallelujah. Let me see how they're following this. So, he was given a new reputation. You know, the president of Nigeria, for example, his name, he contested the presidency three times. They call him the presidential aspirant. Is a name. 3 times. The 4th time, that is this time last year, he was called the candidate of the All Progressive Congress. That is a name. They will put His Excellency, thinking he will lose. His Excellency, sir. Just accept the results. But then he won. Then somebody was already there as president. Okay? So he won, and then something changed. He didn't have to change his name. His status had changed. That means he acquired a new reputation. By the virtue of winning an election, he's now given a name. That is, he's given a new reputation. A new status, a new office. So when Jesus, hallelujah, when he rose from the dead, glory to God, he was given a name. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. He was given a name. A name that is above all names. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you here? Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is above every other name. Now, look at this. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 21. You must let this truth sink in you, alright? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance were in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards what we believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him where? At His own right hand, in the heavenly places. Now, we explained last week that right hand is not heaven. Right hand is not a place, it's what? A position. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Rattan is not a place, it's a position. It refers to authority. Are you there? So, when you say right hand of God, don't ever think he's talking about heaven. Heaven is part of it. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, listen to this. In Romans 8:34, he says, he makes intercession for us. He's at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. You see in Acts 2:33, Acts 5:31. Let's see the word right hand. Let me just see that. Revelation 1:16. Revelation 1, are you there? He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp tool. So, right hand here is talking about right hand. Your hand like this. Okay? That's a vision. What more? Revelation again. 2:1. 7 stars in his right hand. Location, a place. But then, look at Hebrews 1:3. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. A place or authority. Huh? Hebrews 8:1. Now, of the things which were spoken of, this is it. The Son. We have an high priest, such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Authority or place? Very good. Hebrews 10:12. He sat down on the right hand of God. Authority or place? Hebrews 12:2. Looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me ask you, did anybody, besides John, did anybody see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God physically? No. They were all referring to authority. They were all referring to his resurrection and ascension, right? That's what they're talking about. They were referring to his authority. Pay attention here. 1 Peter 3:22, the same thing. So, where is the right hand? Where? Well, right hand is when you get to heaven, you see a throne, and then now when you cannot, that throne is so big, then you have a smaller one than for Jesus. No. That's sense knowledge. Praise God. That's sense knowledge. Praise God. Remember what he said, Ephesians 1. He said the glory of the inheritance in where? In the saints. So you will find this inheritance where? The word in is what? In union with. That means anywhere you go, you will find it. That's why it's in. Right? Come on, are you there? Now look at verse 19. The exceeding greatness of his power, Ephesians 1, towards what we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. So the right hand is where? He wrought it where? In Christ. So the right hand is where? In Christ. Come on. So the authority is where? In Christ. Come on. Are you there? Now watch this. Notice what heavenly places isn't there. We'll come to that next week. Get back to Ephesians 1. It says, in Christ, far above, verse 21, all principality and power and might and dominion, and everything that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Praise God. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, when it says in the heavenly, that word heavenly, okay, let me go to that very briefly. That word heavenly does not mean in heaven. It doesn't mean in heaven. It can be of heaven, from heaven, or like heaven. But it's not talking about a place. Heavenly. That's why the places is in italics. Ephesians 1:3, places, italics. Ephesians 1:21 places Italy. That means it wasn't there. Ephesians 3 again. Verse 10, italics, not there. Ephesians 6:12, which is funny. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, same place. That would be ridiculous. So, he isn't talking about a place. The word heaven is the word hyperaneos in the Greek. E-P-O-U. R-A-N-I-O-S. It means it fits in heaven, or is like heaven, or is of heaven. It doesn't always talk about a place. Now look at this. Look at John 3:12. Let's run quickly. Let's run through. John 3:12. You learning something here? I've told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So heavenly things can be said here, right? Come on. Are you following this? Now one more, quickly. 1 Corinthians 15:40. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one. That's the same word, heavenly body. And the glory of the terrestrial is one. Two times. Verse 48. As is the earthy, so also are the earthy. And as is heavenly, so they are heavenly. Heavenly, not heaven, but like heaven or from heaven. 49, we are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of what? It doesn't mean we're going to carry heaven. No. So, notice that. Verse 49, I've read that. Now, Ephesians 1, quickly, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly. Not places. Praise God. I told you, if that he's seated in the heavenly places. How can you be seated in the heavenly places? Your leg is in the north? No, the word place is not there. In the heavenly. Praise God. Now watch this. Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians 1, 20. In the heavenly, not Ephesians 6, 12. Oh, 6, 12 is really funny. It's talking about, you know, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly. That is celestial. Every time you see heavenly, it means non-material. Non-material. That is, the blessings he's talking about is in the non-material. Philippians 2:10, the one we read earlier. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and under the earth. 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Then you have Hebrews 3:1. Heavenly calling. That means a calling that is not of this earth. Is that okay? Is that okay? So, when you read heavenly, note what it means. Hebrews 6:4. I've tasted of the heavenly gifts. That's not in heaven. It's here on earth. Of the heavenly gift. Hebrews 6:4. Hebrews 8:5. The shadow of heavenly things. Hebrews 9:23. Just quickly write that down because of our time. The pattern of things in the heavens. Hebrews 12:22. This is very specific. Hebrews 12:22. You have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Obviously, it's a place. The heavenly Jerusalem. That is the Jerusalem that is not materially seen. So, can we say that the word heavenly means the unseen, to the natural mind? Can we say that? To the unseen. So, when he said, he's setting in the heavenly places, can we say in the unseen? Can we say in the unseen? Now, can that unseen, oh God, can that unseen be in the spirit?
Huh? Now, can that unseen be in your spirit? I thought you got that. Thank you very much. That's a cool brother. Thank you. Can that unseen be in your spirit? Because it shall be in you. He said, when I come, where I am, you be also will be in you. So in the heavenly, he's referring to in the believer. You get that? Is that clear? You understand that? In the believer. Because in the believer is that material substance of God. Hallelujah. In the believer. The glory of his inheritance in the saints. Jesus never preached a place. He preached persons. Come on. What are preaching to? Thank you. So, in. Now, let's do some. I need just 15 minutes. I want to explain something to us. Now, I like people to get things clearly. I hope you know by now. So I want to show you the differences between Philippians 2 and Ephesians 1. Philippians 2 and Ephesians 1. Now, in Philippians 2, Paul combines two prophecies. Two. And somebody had asked me a question one day. He said, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He said, but what does that mean? He said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And when I was younger as a minister, I said, whatever has a leg has a knee, it will bow. Sense knowledge. Whatever has a tongue will speak, it will confess. So, then someone asked me, does that mean that everybody will be saved? That would confess that Jesus is Lord. You're quiet now. That means, Bible says if you confess that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So I said, no, that's not what the Spirit is saying there. I just said something and made the guy go away. But I felt, what in the world did this brother say? What kind of a difficult member is this? He didn't even allow me to get away with my rhema. You ready to see it? Alright, just spend some more time with me. Philippians 1. You know, I told you I'm a very slow speaker. I take a long time to say something very simple. I can take 1 hour to do something I can explain in 10 minutes. So bear with me. You have a very slow pastor. And he's going to get better as the days go by. Maybe he'll spend more time on simple things. Now he says, wherefore, verse 9, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things, notice things that are italicized in heaven and in earth and under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2. Now look at Ephesians 1. Glory to God. Far above verse 21. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, his body. Which is the body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, notice Ephesians 1, 21 and 22 are related. Well, it says he put all things under his feet. The word things is italicized. So he put all. All what? Verse 21. Principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. That is every reputation. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So we can say, he has put all these. Does it make more sense? So 21 to 22. So, wait on that. Put it there. Now, Philippians 2, he now says,
every knee shall bow. It's not the same thing. And every tongue should confess in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Every knee shall bow, in heaven, okay, in earth, and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now the word to confess is to admit. It actually means either to praise, okay, or to admit your sins. Now, it's used for sins just a very, very little time, fewer times. Matthew 3:6, when they confess their sins, John the Baptist. Acts 19:8, those who came to confess their deeds and their wicked hearts, their acts. Then James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Every other time it is used, it's used for praise. Exomologio. Exomologio. And every time it's used for praise, it is used for believers. So, we have two scriptures here. Now, you and I know that Ephesians 1:20 and 21:22 is with prophecy. Psalm, we're here. Psalm 110, verse 1. And that one talks about enemies under your feet. Right? Okay? And the enemies are what? Huh? Principalities and power and might and dominion. Is that clear? Now, Philippians 2:10 doesn't talk about enemies. Philippians 2:10 is another prophecy. Now, how you know it? Let me teach you something simple in Bible study. In Ephesians 1, Paul was referring to salvation and a believer's authority. Obviously, from verse 3, we are blessed, we are forgiven, we are favored, we are predestined, to verse 23, and then it goes to chapter 2, verse 1. But in Philippians, if you start from verse 1, he was talking about their conduct, how they should be humble, how everybody should have one mind. Then it got to verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. He said, Christ became obedient as a man. He was now exalted. He was now exalted that had his reputation. In other words, he's saying he was humbled and now he's exalted. Are you following this? Are you following this? That was how he brought out the truth we just read now. He was talking about their conduct. Now, watch this. Where was that prophecy? That prophecy is in Isaiah 45 verse 23. Hold on with me, I'm almost done. Isaiah 45 verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall come, and all that are incensed against shall be ashamed. And in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So, in this, it's talking about what? Okay, let's see. Go. So, is this talking to that where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess? Is he referring to those who believe or the enemies? Huh? Those who believe. You will see that now. Look at Romans. Romans 14. Romans 14. There are two places where that prophecy was quoted. Romans 14. Verse 11. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Is that the same prophecy? Okay. Now, what is he talking about? Look at the previous text. Why do you judge your brother? Why does you say that not your brother? For we shall all stand before what? The judgment seat of Christ. Is that clear? Is that clear? So, verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's what he was discussing in Philippians 2. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? He was talking about the judgment seat of Christ. But That is Isaiah 45 verse 23 to 24. But Ephesians 1, initially it was quoting Psalm 110 verse 1. Then it shifted to where? Isaiah 45. Because in Psalm 110, it's the one that talks about his resurrection and ascension. But Psalm 110 does not talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Rather, it's Isaiah 45. Are you there? That we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Is that for believers or unbelievers? Believers. So every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. He's talking to who? He's talking to who? Now, what is he talking about? To give account. Because he was talking about their works. Are you listening now? Is that clear? But in Ephesians 1, he's talking about the exercise of our authority. Praise God. Is it clear to you now? Very good. So, that's what he's talking about. It's good to have this kind of clarity. Is that true? Okay, let me quickly hang now. So, Ephesians 1. Praise God. You learn something from that? So, whereas in Philippians, who is teaching submission and obedience. Okay? That is of the believer to Christ. In Ephesians 1, he's talking about the exercise of the believer's authority. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? Hallelujah. So, the right hand refers to where? In Christ. In the believer. Glory to God. And how does he bring that reality to us? He said he will give you another comforter. He will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for dwells with you, is with you, and shall be where? In you. As we begin to expose these truths, glory to God. You know, it says greater works. Greater works. Hallelujah. It says greater. The works I do, he will do, and greater. We'll see it. Praise God. That this is talking about the abilities in the believer. He's not talking about a place. He's talking about an ability. What comes to us at salvation. Praise God. Praise God. So when we say we are at the right hand of God, we are saying we are in Christ. When we say, are you here? We are in Christ. And Christ is in us. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? And you're glad in the saints. That means everywhere you go, you carry a reputation. You carry a reputation. You are not subjected or submissive to any wickedness of the enemy. You are not subjected to any principalities and power and might and dominion. In the resurrection of Christ, as he is, so are you. There's a glory of God in your spirit. Did you hear me? The glory of God is in your spirit. I said the glory of God is in your spirit. That's why Paul says it's in the heavenlies. That means you may see me fragile in my body. Fragile. I may not have all the best panache in my walk. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means the believer's authority is in the spirit. Glory to God. It's in our spirit. We carry a substance. Jesus was not talking about a place. He was talking about substance. A reality. Hallelujah. I like what Reverend Mark Hankin says. He says the Holy Spirit takes all that Jesus has done from just a teaching to our lives as experiences. Hallelujah. And so, what Jesus was talking about are the works of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The works of the Spirit that is in Christ. I pray that your eyes open. Glory to God. That your eyes be opened. Be exposed to these truths. These realities. Glory to God. So that I was having a dream. A funny dream. Get it? You know, last night I slept and I had a very funny dream. Not demon, In a while, I saw this once, many, many years ago. I just got up and I said, what kind of stupid dream is this? You get it? What kind of silly dream is this? I said, maybe, and it was, I said, how did that happen? So I said, I think that was how I slept. It was something I was saying when I slept. So I said, okay, this time around, I'm going to see something else. Then I'm going to change my dreams. So say, hey, is it like that? Exactly. I've told you before that even in a vision, Peter was questioning. Praise God. We are in control in the spirit. Ananias was talking to Jesus and said, but master, you know, he said, whatever you say. We are born of the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means if you see a funny dream, ask him, what's going on here? What's going on here? Jesus, who do you think you are? He said, where I am, there you will be also. The glory of God is in your spirit. The glory of God is in your spirit. Hallelujah. As you hear this truth, there's a manifestation of them in your life. Glory to God. Because you keep hearing it. And one day, like today, it's going to dawn on your mind. You say, I really don't need anybody's prayer right now. I don't need to call pastor tonight. No, I can take charge myself. Hallelujah. So I can take charge myself. You need to pray. We prayed for somebody called me. He said they saw a dream that he should not travel to go and preach somewhere. He said, sir, what do you think? I said, it's not me now. It's you. Any man of God that makes you subservient to him, to be calling him, should I travel, is manipulating your life. There is no right he has on that road that you don't have. Hallelujah. I said, brother, what exactly do you want to do? He said, I'm just asking you, sir, for double confirmation. Of what? He said, man of God, if you yield to things like this, you have just introduced fear into your life. He said, thank you, sir. He called me, he said, I'm there. He said, that's where I thought you were going to be. Glory to God. He broke manipulation over his life. He broke intimidation over his life. Hallelujah. The glory of God is in your spirit. All that Jesus did, all he became, he has put in the believer today. As he is, so are we in this world. We can change circumstances and situations. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, peace be still, today, he had no more greater authority than you have now. Glory to God. You know, that's the truth about us. This is not a fable. It's not a fable. In no way. It's not a fable. Not even close to that. There was one tree like that in front of our house. Then they could say, this house, this tree, some people do this, and they put something there. They watch. I said, where is the tree? In front of where I live. They called it in. Say, the lady that they fear, her name is Moriamo. She's there. I said, let's go there. What's this? I said, are you a witch? She said, no. No problem. That means you're not a witch. Glory to God. Are you there? I said, see, witch. What's wrong with you? It doesn't work by prayer. He said, it didn't say when you, whatever you ask the Father, he said, whatever you ask in that name, in that office. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There was a house I was staying. And then they said the landlord put something on the door. He said, anyone who passes through this place at this time of the night, said the thing will happen, so to run mad and stuff like that and other. And all the other tenants were Christians. But I used to come in at the right time. But Jesus said it's like a thief in the night. So I always came back at night. So I didn't know when he put that in and gave everybody, so including believers. He gave believers instructions concerning jazz. That's disrespect. Very rude. And they all obeyed. The enemy submitted. I got in. So as I saw the stone, I said, what's this? I removed it. And I took it to my room. He said, Poshagu! Poshagu! I said, what happened?
So I just removed that. And she was running.
If it was an incantation on it, the minute I touch it, it leaves it.
When I was a younger preacher, I don't do that again because now I'm more responsible. We used to eat sacrifices. I'm more responsible now. We'll say, what's that one? Say, ah, that's chicken. We'll kill it.
They shouldn't come and question. They offered it to some gods. Didn't they expect the gods to eat it?
Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Match on in this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not the same person who answered the altar call. You are somebody else now. Hallelujah. I said you are somebody else now. Nothing intimidates you. Nothing overpowers you. As he is, so are you in this world. Lift your hand to heaven. Bless the Lord.